I just use this one. I haven't even used the other one for anything. This one remote. The one that has the power on the right side. That's the only one I've used, not the one with the power on the left. All right.
Joanne, I got an email from you last night, like at 11 o'clock at night, that said, asked me if I was sitting on the Sisterhood's donut thing, which was Monday. I was so confused. I was, but.
I was having trouble with my email on, what was that, Monday or Tuesday night?
That was Monday. And so today, and so I got it Wednesday.
I was trying any which way I could, at least to be able to look at the recipes. And I was sending them out. My email just wasn't working, so it went through yesterday.
Yes. Do you still want the recipes? That was what my question was.
I got them from Adele and.
Okay, because I saw that like 11 o'clock last night. Said I'm online watching the donut making. Can you send me the recipes? I'm like, that was 2 days ago. I'm so confused.
Yeah, we reposted it for continued watching.
Oh no! No, this was Sisterhood's demonstration.
Yeah.
This wasn't neat. Yeah. Anyway.
Did you make anything?
I haven't. I might this weekend. Some of those look fun.
Yeah.
The little fritter ones look good.
The fritter ones looked a little too doughy. Like,
yeah. Look messy too.
You know? Like deep fried, you know.
I don't know. I fry once a year at Hanukkah, so.
Did anybody do the donut hole?
There you go.
Gail said she did those a couple days ago. She said those were pretty good, and those are baked. So
yeah, that's a little healthier option,
yeah,
except for the toppings that she suggested putting on them.
Right. I actually wanted to try the ones with the jelly donuts, with, you know, where you actually. I mean, I don't have one of those. I don't know. I don't have a pastry bag and that bezel to insert my jelly.
You don't need a pastry bag to do them.
No.
You can just spoonful and drop them in oil. To fill them, you can get a cheap like cookie icer decorator.
Yeah, I have that. Okay, well maybe I'll try that, because the yeasted one she did actually seemed pretty easy to make those.
I've made soufganiyot before. I don't know, have I made them here? I made them about 7 years ago, maybe, like for the first time. I think it was before I came here. I don't think I've made them since I've been here because I've been too busy. But but I was really intimidated, and it turned out it really wasn't hard. And the thing that intimidated me most really was the oil. And so what I did is, instead of using a giant pot of oil that's deep and like you got to deal with all this oil, I used a smaller, much smaller pot, like that you would fit one in at a time, because they cook very fast.
Right.
Like, in like 35 seconds. So if you have a small pot of oil, A, it comes up to temperature much faster and it's deep enough. And you just literally, it's like in 20 seconds, flip it, 20 seconds out. And so it's like this assembly line. You're only dealing with one at a time. It doesn't feel, for me, it didn't feel as like overwhelming of, oh my God, I have these donuts in here. And they just, and they came out great.
Well, it's not like I'm making donuts for, you know, 35 people either, so.
Right. I'm saying, it was like, right, it was really easy. I made a plateful and it was like, okay. Yeah. And then a little cookie thing for like jelly, because you don't have too much because then it bursts.
Right.
A little syringe thing.
All right. Maybe I'll try those this weekend.
Yeah.
I actually have a deep fryer that I bought for Thanksgiving when I was having like 25 people for Thanksgiving and I wanted to have donuts. And so I used it then and we made lots of donuts that night. And I don't think I've used it since. So when was that? When Thanksgiving was on Hanukkah?
That's 7 or 8 years ago.
Yeah. So that was the last time. So if I can find it in my basement, maybe I'll use it.
Susan, are you planning any more baking classes? Those were fun.
Oh, thanks. I hadn't yet, but I'm not averse to it. What would you want?
If when we get to Purim, for sure. Different hamantaschen?
Sure, I can do that.
Yeah, those were fun.
Totally, yeah. I can totally do that.
I mean, it was manageable. I didn't feel overwhelmed by it.
Fun. All right, I see my camera's being weird. So hang on, I'm going to try one more switch.
It was also nice because it was sort of like 10 of us in each other's kitchens making challah together.
Yeah.
Right. With a variety of results.
Right. Yeah. Each time.
But it got me to make it. I mean, it was sort of, otherwise I wouldn't get up on a Friday morning and make challah, but I was like, okay, challah class, I'm going to go do this.
Right. The problem is I'm the only one who eats it. There's two of us and one of us doesn't. So there you go.
I'll send my boys over to you. They eat everything.
All right. Or I'll send mine over to you.
Sorry, I'm having trouble this morning. I actually do have a new computer sitting in my house. I haven't had enough time to actually get everything over there before I can use it. Yes, I agree that my most favorite part was like being in your kitchens with you, which is probably better than trying to work in someone else's kitchen or the temple kitchen where you don't have your stuff. Like, oh man. All right, hang on. We're going to do one last thing. Of my door. Okay. Different camera. All right. So let's, it's nice to be with you. Let's all like settle in. Settle into where you're sitting. Settle into how you're sitting. You let your breathing come to happen on its own.
Susan, you're not on the screen.
I see you on the screen.
I'm not on
the screen. Or maybe we have too many people on so that she has to flip to the next page.
I see her.
Okay, let me look.
There are 12 people on, so if you're, sometimes iPads only have 9.
Yeah. There, I gotcha.
Okay. I knew I was having video trouble this morning, but I didn't realize it was that bad. So notice your breath. Just be with that. Notice it in and out. It rises. Your shoulders might rise. They might not. Notice the temperature of your breath. Is it cooler? Is it cool the inside of your nose or mouth? Feel the whoosh of the movement of air. Can find a place or a way that you can sit still, sit into your support. And if you're noticing that you can't sit still, that's okay too. Just be with that, see that distraction. If you can bring your attention back just to the breath moving rather than the rest of you. You may be hungry, you may be full. Be achy, you may be energized. Wherever you are in this moment is where you are. Just be with that presence. So I Didn't get a chance to see the temple email that came out last night. I had put a title in for this. Was it there? Anybody notice? Nobody noticed. And I don't know if it was there. I'm trying to put titles. There are all these recordings now are living on our website, all of our sessions. You can go back to any one, and I've given them titles. And I think I call this Basking in Light.
I was thinking, no, there's no title on it.
Okay.
No, but I saw one.
Good to know. But it's I'm thinking about light, but I actually was really thinking about the experience of resilience or courage in as tonight we begin our celebration of Hanukkah. So courage in Musar terms and in Jewish practice terms is called ometz lev. So ometz itself would be like strength, like when we say in Torah, it says chazak ve'ematz. So be strong and be like courageous, ometz, to have like that inner strength. But courage, when we think of it as part of our spiritual practice, we actually call it ometz lev, that it's not just strength, but that lev is heart. It's heart strength. Right? It could be just, we could talk about ometz, but in pairing it with the word lev to make this ometz lev, this complex noun, right? We think about this kind of part of our practice, not so much, I think, in terms of bravery and acts of courage, heroic things that we would often define courageous, but rather more about who we are, our own inner, what we believe in, what we put our hearts into, that we can have resilience for, that we can persevere with. So we can think of this in terms of courage, but courageous, I think I want to call it, I've decided I want to call it courageous resilience. So there's an element of stepping into fear. The things that, right, because courage implies that there's something fearful out there that we're going to somehow overcome. But the resilience part really focuses it on our inner landscape. So Rabbi Nachman of Bratslav, one of my favorite and sad Hasidic rebbes, he died when he was 37, but his wisdom is amazing. And he battled depression his entire life. And he's known for his one of maybe his most famous teaching, one of his most famous teachings, Kol Ha'olam Kulo Gesher Tsar Me'od, all of the world, who Gesher Tsar, a narrow, like Mitzrayim Tsar, Gesher Tsar Me'od, a narrow bridge, V'ha'ikar Lo Lefached Klal, and the most important thing, Ha'ikar Lo Lefached Klal, not to be afraid. But, and you've heard us teach this before, and this was in Rabbi Wehner's High Holiday Sermon too this year. The actual teaching is not exactly that. The actual teaching is more subtle, and I think it's way more instructive. He doesn't use the word in his original teaching, lefached, to be afraid. He uses the reflexive form of the verb, lehit pached, not to cause oneself to be afraid. So for him, he's writing, lo lehit pached klal, don't make yourself afraid. What do we do to ourselves that get in the way of our courageous resilience? So we can't repress things that make us fearful or anxious. We can't deny them. Ometz lev, this courageous resilience, choosing. It's out with the soul. This is mindfulness practice. It's choosing not to frighten ourselves beyond the fear we already experience. It's the not being fearful of the fear. It's not being anxious of the fear. It's not being annoyed of ourselves because of fear. Like, fear arises. And we can practice how we can be with that and then how we can respond with it and not emotionalize or catastrophize our emotions. My fear is unavoidable. And ometz lev involves moving forward, moving into, moving through, despite our fear, and not exacerbating all the other emotional experiences around that. So if we can observe when we are fearful, when we might be afraid, when we might be even making ourselves afraid, right? We don't want to make ourselves afraid, but if we can do that without judging ourselves, without that overlay of emotion, to offer forward a possibility of a way that we can act that isn't determined by the fear itself. The fear arises, we can hold it and look at it mindfully and see what's coming up for us. And that's Ometz Lev. That's the courage to face it and then to move forward, even in the face of whatever is challenging or frightening us. So Hanukkah, of course, begins this evening. And there are two threads of this story, right? I think we know the two threads, but just in case, right? There's the military victory in the face of religious persecution and assimilation, right? The Maccabees. And then conflated with the later Talmudic story, the miracle of the oil. God's presence needs to be there, right? There's miracle. So Hanukkah joins God's work with our own efforts in bringing this moment. The Maccabees had to choose to stand up and fight. They had to face their fears. They had to inspire others to overcome their own fears, right? There was oppression, the Assyrian Greeks, right? The core texts of our tradition remind us how the Maccabees, the Hasmonean family, stood up to the Hellenization that was happening around them, to the assimilation, to the Syrian Greek Empire that was existing in that time. They had to stand up for what they believed in. It was fearful. It was going against the grain. But ultimately, that wasn't enough for that message to last beyond the one or two generations. Hundreds of years later, when Hanukkah sort of like falls apart, the Talmudic sages turn around and add the other piece that we need, right? That's not actually enough for Ometz Lev. God has to be present too. And so the miracle of the oil lasting for 8 days when the Maccabees came and rededicated the temple, the two pieces have to be woven together. So we partner with God in making miracles happen in our Ometz Lev, in our courageous resilience. We can think of ourselves as the shamash, the candle that lights the others, either that begins the light, right? The shamash has to start the light, or it's our own light that lends support, that lends resilience to others. I found two lovely quotes about courage that I thought I would share as part of our reflection. Like, how are we the shamash? So Nelson Mandela wrote, "I learned that courage was not the absence of fear, but the triumph over it. The brave man is not one who does not feel afraid, but one who conquers that fear." Right? So acknowledging that our emotional experience of fear, we can't push away. But with a mindful experience of Ometz Lev, of seeing ourselves as the light, right? That is, we have to change the way we see ourselves, change and shift the narrative that we might be telling ourselves, that overlay of emotional fear of the fear, so that we can move forward. And a writer, Marianne Rademacher, wrote, "Courage doesn't always roar. Sometimes courage is a little voice at the end of the day that says, I'll try again tomorrow." So that also I find really important for this courageous resilience that we're talking about, this Ometz Lev, this inner experience. We're not thinking about, I mean, in Hanukkah, we're thinking about these big, huge, brave acts of, you know, heroism and military victory. But for us, what are those little moments? And to recognize that all we can do is be present to them. It doesn't mean we're going to overcome them in one day or 2 days or a year, but we can try again, right? It's that little voice that gets us through the day to say, okay, I did this much and I can try again tomorrow. Like that's courageous resilience. How we orient ourselves toward a situation, toward a challenge. So we have, I sure, we all have experiences like this, right? Experiences that give us the opportunity to explore Ometz Lev, to explore this courageous resilience in our lives. And when we're attentive, we can actually see those opportunities more. Summoning our strength, summoning our heart, summoning that inner place to be present. So we're going to sit again. I'm going to walk us through some thoughts I have. So again, find yourself however you are choosing to sit. Notice, I always like to notice what parts of my body are supported or unsupported, where I'm feeling connection to the earth. And in a way, so your body can be at its most still. And if there's places of discomfort, just welcome them today as part of where you are. Right? Being present to what we are experiencing right now. Cultivating a space or a mindfulness of Ometz Lev, of this courageous resilience, is not about solving problems. It's not about fighting or prevailing over a challenge. But cultivating an inner space, an inner confidence that we are able, that we have heart strength. It may be as you notice or face something that you're attentive, that you may walk into the fear. That you are not alone. That you can do this. Eleanor Roosevelt writes, "You gain strength, courage, and confidence by every experience in which you really stop to look fear in the face. You are able to say to yourself, I have lived through this. I can take the next thing that comes along. You must do the thing you think you cannot do." So I invite you to bring to mind a task or activity about which you are probably procrastinating because it generates some level of apprehension or fear. Whatever that first thing is that arises, don't go digging. Just be with whatever arises. Task or activity that you have procrastinated because it generates fear in you or apprehension. And as you note that experience, note the physical experiences in your body that arise that came to mind. Either the physical experiences you have had around that, or write what is happening in your body now, the signs in your body. Just notice them. Don't judge them. Don't even try and fix them. Just be curious. And take note of the thoughts that arise, the judgments that you make of yourself around this activity, the narrative that is telling you your fears, the thoughts that are getting in your way and dismantling your heart strength. Sort of see this activity at the core and notice the things that are swirling around it. We can't choose differently until we notice them. Those distractions and obstacles are often in the shadows. They trip us up mostly because we don't see them. So as we start to pay attention to them, to notice them, I invite you to take the shamas, the light, that first light of Hanukkah, and shed light on one of those obstacles, just one. And as you notice that obstacle now, clear in the light, without judging yourself, can you change the way you see it? Can the illumination help to bring you the courageous resilience to see beyond the obstacle? Now that you can see it, to not be tripped up by it, to know that you are able. Poem by Anne Sexton. It's called The Courage of Small Things. It's in the small things we see it. The child's first step, as awesome as an earthquake. The first time you rode a bike, wallowing up the sidewalk. The first spanking when your heart went on a journey all alone. When they called you crybaby or poor or fatty or crazy and made you into an alien. And you drank their poison and conceit. Later, if you faced the death of bombs and bullets, you did not do it with a banner. You did it only with a hat to cover your heart. You did not fondle the weakness inside you, though it was there. Your courage was a small coal that you kept swallowing. If your buddy saved you and died himself in so doing, then his courage was not courage, it was love. Love as simple as shaving soap. Later, if you endured a great despair, then you did it alone, getting a transfusion from the fire, picking the scabs off your heart, then wringing it out like a sock. Next, my kinsman, you powdered your sorrow. You gave it a back rub and then you covered it with a blanket. After it had slept a while, it woke to the wings of the roses and was transformed. Later, when you face old age and its natural conclusion, your courage will still be shown in the little ways. Each spring will be a sword you'll sharpen. Those you love will live in a fever of love, and you'll bargain with the calendar. And at the last moment, when death opens the back door, you'll put on your carpet slippers and stride out. You know, it's some really tough images, but I just really, well, I love her honesty in the words. The things we don't want to think that we're, that we could be courageously resilient about. And to know that it's not big heroics, right? I think that's really what she's trying to say. It's all these really difficult things that humans face, not the big heroics. So I know I'm going back and forth between the ideas of courageous resilience and light and use, and I really see them as tied together. It's the flames, unlike the Shabbat candles. So the Shabbat candles are actually meant to be, they can be used for light, right? Because we're not allowed to light a fire after Shabbat comes in. So like you can use the Shabbat candles for light. But you're not supposed to use the Chanukiah for light. Like it's just supposed to be to reveal the miracle, right? The words, right? Hanerut halalu, the lights are holy. They're praiseworthy lights. So I think that the only purpose for us is to actually gaze upon them, right? To see the light. And I think that's where Ometz Lev, where this courageous resilience comes in connection to light. The Ner Tamid in any synagogue, the eternal light, the light is to burn eternally. In the temple in Jerusalem that you find in every synagogue, was meant to be tended by us as human beings, right? In order to burn eternally. It wasn't that it just goes and happens. Like it has to happen from our efforts, right? That's the light that the Maccabees were. That's the oil. That's the light they were relighting. Those were the lights they were relighting. The menorah, the seven-branch menorah, there was always had to be light in the synagogue, right? That leads to our tale of miracles and oil. If we think about the needing to keep that light tended, right? We need to keep our own internal light tended too. What do we need to do to feed that flame, to keep that inner light radiating, to be a light for others, to be that shamash? And I think that's what Ometz Lev is. That's what this courageous resilience is. It requires courageous resilience in order to keep that light tended inside of ourselves, in order to always have the flame of who we are lit. A strong heart, a practice of looking at the Hanukkah lights tonight as they begin and they grow each night. To use looking at those candles perhaps tonight as a moment to see that light and reflect upon our practice, where we can see and how we can, what inner resilience, what courageous remembrance we have from the first Hanukkah that we can bring for ourselves. And even just looking at the lights tonight is its own mindful practice as you, whether you're turning bulbs and mindfully turn those bulbs so that the lights go on, that's okay. Or as you strike the match, as you see the candles, if they're fast burning candles, if they're slow burning candles, if they're color, like to take in those images with a breath to what Ometz Lev felt like, right? We sat with that experience of our fear of our own resilience, of what we would want to shine light on to shift our inner experience of fear and resilience. So that is what I'm thinking about before Hanukkah this evening. I don't know, do you have any thoughts or questions or wonders or ideas?
I did really like that poem by The Courage of Small Things, because it's little steps, sometimes just getting through the day, or now the little step of where we normally would go to the grocery store, you needed something for a recipe, you just run up to Giant or Wegmans and get whatever you needed. And now it's a major event to plan the meals, to figure out the food. I don't know, it just takes bigger steps to do the things that we previously assumed were just commonplace. And so I think, you know, it's a little step, whether the child is riding this tricycle or the first steps of a puppy trying to get up the stairs, or our steps to go around the block is now a big event. So I think that's kind of a helpful poem, and I will reread it. Thank you for that.
So I have to agree with Linda. I mean, we've been doing this fear thing for a really long time now, like every day. And today it's getting to me, because yesterday more people died of COVID than in 9/11. And that just seems so fantastically huge to me. So, you know, this will pass. I will get to the light part. Right now I'm at, oh, that's terrible. It's so sad. It's so very sad. And fear, you know, we have to face fear because we don't have an option, really. I'm not going to do anything other than face it.
And that's wonderful for you. But there are, we know, some people run away from it. Some people are paralyzed by it. So our practice is to try and take all of those different approaches and find ways forward that are more nurturing and that are more growthful for us. We'll see those lights tonight. If in your practice or thinking or passing reflection in the week, if the image of shining light on those places that we avoid is something that's helpful, something that cultivates that courageous resilience that we do need now, that our tradition is teaching us about. Yeah, Barbara.
So on another note, I do remember like the best times that I had watching Hanukkah lights. And it was actually when I was in college and I was living in a house with 10 other people. And I encouraged them and cajoled them into sitting with the lights with me. And we had just the best time, you know, sitting just quietly looking at the lights. Mm-hmm. And, you know, got to the point where I didn't have to try to encourage them anymore. They would just come. Awesome. Yeah.
I just think back to last year was the first time in many years that both my sons were here for Hanukkah, because Hanukkah was late. And the last night we lit candles, and I think my daughter-in-law took a picture of just my two sons and my husband and I. And I have that picture, and I brought it up the other day just to look at it. And I'm going to send it to them later today, because they were always in college. You know, once they went to college and Hanukkah was December 6th and they weren't home yet, we would kind of celebrate later or talk virtually. But I think that's one image I want to remember. And when they were little, and when we used to go to the temple and they used to run around and you know, have the Todd Hanukkah lighting and those kind of things. And Barbara and I were, you know, there as young mothers and with our kids and other families. And it was crazy time, but those are the images I think that have to get you through it. We won't be there together this year, obviously, but, you know, who knows what future will bring. And we have to look toward years in the future that we will have time together. But Barbara, your image of the 9/11 and that many people died yesterday, I thought of that too when the news media gave that 3,000 something number. And I think about like just when we used to go to Orioles Stadium or Nats Stadium and how many people were in that stadium, 40, 50,000 people and everybody rushing out at the end of the game. And that's a lot of people. That's the only image I can think of, that many people in a stadium. I can't think of millions. I can only envision 40 or 50,000, but 3,000 people dying in one day. This is one day. And our poor doctors and nurses, and there's a great article in the Post today. I don't know if you've read it yet. It reflects 7 ICU nurses from across different sections of the country and their thoughts. And their one woman was talking about holding the man's hand and his wife is dying on a different floor. So those are the people we really need to send prayers to and hope for, because they are the lifeline that is keeping many people alive. And it's sad commentary, but that's the reality of those people, and that's the hope we need to work for.
You can join us each night during Hanukkah if you don't want to be just in your own home. Bring your Hanukkiah. You can put it in the camera. You can put it in a separate camera. But each night of Hanukkah, there will be some gathering of lighting Hanukkiah together. So I hope to see you. More than once, even. Have a wonderful day. Chag Urim Sameach. Happy Hanukkah.
Thank you. You too.
You too.
Thank you. Thank you.
Happy Hanukkah. Thank you.